Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by our old friend, Zach Meir. How have you been, Zach?
Getting older, Phil.
Getting older, yeah. Aren't we all?
Yeah, you know, it's. I think that something I read about Lyft Global Ventures was that, you know, when we announced it a few weeks back, somebody said, so is Zach going to interview himself? And I thought that's a really good strategy.
It is a bit bizarre, but you being on the other side of the table here now, that's for sure.
Zach is going to be interviewed by his protégés.
It's different, and it's. I mean, I suppose it's also something that if you've been into the stock market since the age of seven in 1973, then this is actually quite a long journey and quite a. You know, it's like an ambition. It's like playing at Wembley or, you know, one of those things.
Age of seven, check you out, the wannabe Warren Buffett.
Yeah, no, that's true. Because I was going to school and the LBC was on started at that time. And the stock market crashed because of the oil price went through the roof. Yeah. And so it stuck in my mind then. And so that was the whole thing. And there was a commentator at the time saying, you know, there's a crash now, but the market will rebound and, you know, forget about inflation and this and that, Bob Beckman. And that's how I got the bug at the age of seven. So 48 years later, here I am.
Brilliant. So how are things going with looking to float your new venture or this Lyft Global Ventures on the market?
Going very well. I've got so many people. I mean, I've got a sort of a telephone book of people to talk to, and people have talked to me already about it. We had a little event last month as well in London. And so, you know, it's again, it becomes a bit strange that you're on the other side of the fence and you're the person they're listening to in the presentation rather than you listening to them. But it's been a great experience. It's a bit like having your birthday every day, as I said, if you're into the stock market, what it's about. The idea here also is that unlike a lot of companies that I see, I'm only going to be hunting in my own back garden. I'm not going into AI or NFTs or coal mining in Madagascar. It's only the stuff that I've done, which in the 90s was being a futures and options broker. I did that for 10 years and really with the retail clients and everything else. And then from 2000, it was all about financial websites. And, you know, obviously Twitter came through in 2008-09 or whatever it was, all that stuff. So I was very keen on the company being only about my skill set and my experience, so that you literally do have the 48 years of experience in that area, you know, reading the RNSs, all the stuff that you do. I've learned obviously a lot from you guys as well, because everybody has their own speciality. But yeah, just, you know, you've seen recently our space is one of the hottest spaces around. You know, you've got Audio Boom, which is like in play, the podcaster. Hopefully the roast will be in the same market cap area very soon. You have Proactive Investor, which was sold for 1.5 billion. Aberdeen were the buyer there. I remember writing for them when they started in 2000. It's just a financial website. And I think the opportunity is, without, you know, getting it too complicated, this business is unique in that you have podcasters, you have social media, you have Telegram, you have Twitter, you have people who just operate on each of these platforms. You have trading platforms, just to come, you know, apps where you just trade. But nobody's really put all those different bits together. And, you know, Interactive Investor, if it was just a website, it would be valued at maybe, you know, £1 million now or £5 million now. But because they became a trading platform and an investment platform, they got that value. And so you have financial websites that don't have trading, and you have trading platforms that don't have any financial news. And I think if you together in the right way, you can actually really maximize value. The other side, you know, your roast PR is, you know, that's a PR company that you set up. You're a, you know, very much a new economy PR company, so you're all on, you know, the podcasting and the Twitter and everything else. There are still a lot of companies which are just the old city offices and take you out for lunch and everything else type companies and get you in the paper now and again. Yeah. And, you know, they're the sort of the dinosaurs, let's say, and you're the new players. And I think combining the new and the old would maximize.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that the whole PR, the face of PR has changed. You've got the old PR companies that look at the RNSs, et cetera, and then you've got the Rowe side who are more involved in the investor relations and actually, you know, pleasing to more to the retail investors, which, to be fair, is really, you want more retail investors involved with your shares rather than institutions, right?
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, like, you get something in the paper. You know, I was, Lyft was in the paper at the end of October, but the real sizzle was tweeting out that, you know, we're in the paper. Paper, you know, people would have missed it. So combining the old and the new is great. And combining the different types of, you know, the social media with the newspapers and everything else, I think that's that consolidation play, I think, could be very valuable. But also you have synergies as well. I mean, the Rowe's PR, you know, doesn't have the expenses of a city office and, you know, the employees and all the other paraphernalia. You know, it's probably just, you know, your drinks bill and your taxi fares. I mean, that's which is no small amount of money, but it's, you know, you can, with new technology, really have a massive reach and a massive impact with retail investors in the way that just one article in the Daily Mail is not going to do. So I think, you know, I'm trying to be new economy, but without having the sort of the blue sky airy fairy stuff. I mean, this should be a revenue intense business, and it should be one that has synergies and saves money for shareholders, and well, maximizes money for shareholders, and also is lean and mean for the people who sign up to these services as well. But it is integrating the financial, the service providers in the stock market, I think, is probably the best way of doing
it. This Zach SPAC, as we're calling it, is basically going to bring almost a new economy in terms of all of these stocks and shares, because from maybe a few years ago, I think when the different situations came in the European Union and also the stock markets themselves, basically the coverage by the brokerages of the small cap market disappeared and has disappeared completely. So we're almost creating a new industry, I think. I mean, yeah, I count Roast in that, but there are many other players as well. What do you think about that, Zach? Is that correct or not?
It's totally correct. I think the buzzword is it's a new ecosystem. I can't stand that phrase, but it's a new ecosystem of small cap coverage, small cap service providing. And after all, at the end of the day, you know, the multi-baggers are the small caps. You know, it's the elephants don't gallop type of syndrome here. And because of the regulations and everything else, they're just, and, you know, the mainstream media also is very scared of talking about small caps. And so, you know, you've got this ecosystem now of the small cap area, and it's the growth market. And we're going to be on, you know, Aquis, which is a growth market. Very excited about trying to get Lyft, you know, to be one of the best risers on that market. You know, we've seen a few, you know, we've seen a few successes. I think Valerium last year was one of the best ones. I think Quetzal's looking good at the moment as well. There's a few companies which have done well on Aquis, Oberon as well. And I think if you're a, you know, understandable, I think being understandable and being with sight of revenue, I think, is very important as well. And then the business model matching the experience of the directors is also very important. So Tim Daniel, who's effectively the CFO, he's executive director, but he's doing all the that side of the business. He's worked for a hedge fund. He's got accountancy experience for PLC on a PLC level. Paul Gazzard, who you've interviewed and you know well, he's got PLC experience as well. He used to be a fund manager for many years at Panmure Gordon. So it's literally just the experience of the management, I think, really, you know, being brought to bear on what Lyft will be doing. And I think with that, you know, you have a sort of a very much rounded proposition for investors.
Yeah, and I see after the initial scenario, we're going to be buying in Lyft, you're going to be buying revenue producing businesses. So the whole thing will be to either expand or even pay dividends within a few years, I presume, in this marketplace, because this is a cash generative business. All of these businesses produce cash, and the synergies between them are obviously going to allow them to perform even better by the looks of things.
Yes, and I think it's generally cheaper to buy new economy cash generating businesses than it is the old economy. I was reminded of, I think, Richard Polden, when he was talking about Valerium, you know, sort of just raised £500 million. But he said, you know, with tech, And in the new economy, you don't need to have that much money in order to have a strong business or create revenue. It's just that the whole the technology, the social media reach is much cheaper than Deadwood Press reach. You know, you have to have a whole team of journalists. You have to have the offices. You know, you have all that infrastructure. Whereas, you know, one tweet on social media, people get the message. So I think it is using that technology, which, you know, allows you to leverage the cash that you have.
Yeah, and we're living proof of that from last March when in one of the Telegram groups, we decided on a whatever day it was, I think it was a Saturday, let's do a podcast together. And that was me and Phil and yourself and Albert. And this is what has basically birthed the roast from that in terms of what has happened. So yes, the boundaries to going into this situation are not very high, but the costs are extremely low in terms of that. Plus, if you add the addition of what you've talked about, which is a stockbroker, a news website,
production studios,
you know, production studio, whatever in terms of media, then, and many other forms of income that we don't even think about now that I think could be used to produce income for the shareholders of Lyft, then yeah, I think it's an exciting proposition. And basically what you're looking at here is 3p a share, 100 million shares an issue there's going to be, so it's not going to be confetti, that's for sure. 3p a share with a third warrant. So for every three shares you hold, you'll get a warrant at 6p. There is approximately £300,000 available, I think. Zach, is that right?
Yeah, that's sort of, I mean, obviously the figures are a bit, they're a movable feast, but I think that kind of figure would be appropriate, I think, at this stage.
If it is something of interest to you, give Phil or myself on Telegram a private message, or alternatively, you can contact admin@thesundayroast.net and give us a shout. You're interested in it. We can send you the deck. I think you have the deck already, Zach. Yeah.
Yep, the deck's all there. Pathfinder is there. LyftGV.com is the website if you're interested in looking at that. LyftGV.com. So that's all up there as well to look at.
And as we know ourselves, we've had a discussion, myself and Phil, that these areas are all very profitable revenue generating areas. So Roast PR itself will be investing in this Zach SPAC. You know, if you want to follow us in, please do, because we're not doing it because we think we're going to lose money, because I think potentially we could have several times the value of this. It's going to go in at £3 million with 100 million shares at 3p. Who knows what it's going to end up with, but a few of those media businesses, normally very good cash flow and normally pretty high PE values, because ultimately the business normally sticks. You know, once people start to deal with people, then it's easier to stay with them than leave them. So
yeah, I mean, if you look at that,
that's my take on it.
There was a tweet recently which went out, I think even Zach may have put it out, related to PR/IR companies in the city, and I think something like 98% of them had repeat customers every year. They kept hold of the same number of customers, so it's a recurring revenue generative business model every year, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think it is. It is that. I think the example of the person who's done this sort of strategy in his area, who is obviously the god, is Sir Martin Sorrell in advertising. I think he's done it twice. He did it with WPP, and then after that, I think that's S4 is his latest thing. So I think that's probably, you know, this is like the analogy is like that, in the sense that, you know, he knows his area, he knows it like the back of his hand, and he knows how to buy and build and aggregate and consolidate, and that and he just keeps creating a larger and larger revenue generating business. And I think to be in this little ecosystem, let's say it's a small cap market, that kind of world, and to do the same in this area is the goal.
Okay, Zach, good luck with the Zach SPAC, and I'm sure you'll be on again to keep us up to date with what's happening.
Yes, it's as I think we started off saying it was a bit weird being on the different side of the fence, but hopefully we got through it okay.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, Zach. And yep. Zach Meyer, CEO of Lyft Global Ventures, thanks very much for your time.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.